get it, but. You know something? I even had a hot piece of cake for you.
Problems and issues in Reddit. Well, let me look at it.
They ain't any good.
The problem and issues of what the Reddit. Reminds me so much of the time I was digging through this proposed benefit.
The old boy, I've forgotten the author of it. In fact, I've washed my mind out of a lot of stuff I used to read. But he was supposed to be digging in depth of what we are. Well, that's all right, I just sat right there. Well, so when I come to this statement of the ultimate destiny of thought, that got hilarious. It got hilarious.
Well, what in the world was that in?
That's what I say. I forgot. It was a book. Let's see, a buddy of mine was going to taking his master's at the University of Georgia, and he was doing some summer work at the Atlanta branch.
I can hear you.
So he liked a lot of these kids around him. He wanted me. He had to. He was writing a paper. He wanted me to read a portion of this book, this textbook, and explain it to him. He wanted to get me to. When I come to that statement, though, I said, Rich, his name was Rich. Rich Reese, we called him. I don't know what his first name was. We always called him Rich Reese because he was so rich, made life. I'll tell you what I get out of this. It's just about what that author put in it. A bunch of crap. The ultimate destiny of soul.
You mean that's when you were over there on campus?
Oh, no. That's been
a long time after. You didn't have that much sense when you was on the campus.
I had sense enough to question things when I was on the campus. but I did decide I better put down what they told me in their notes.
Let me tell you, you know I hate to put on these clothes.
What?
I can do a whole lot better than old jeans.
Well, don't intrigue me. You bug me in a way.
I can't think.
I want to know what you're up to.
I can't.
What are you trying to prove?
I can't think in these old
clothes. Can't think? Well, I didn't know now that you thought in that region.
But in them jeans, I can get along pretty well.
What are you trying to think out?
Nothing. I just thinking I was going to get in the car and we're going somewhere, and if I had my jeans on, I'd be a lot more, feel like I had my, I'd be a lot better shape.
A lot better shape. Somebody might mistake you for
That's an
imposter, you know.
That's it.
Take a shot at you.
You got to have a uniform.
Mm-hmm.
No. Garmin, let me tell you, I don't have it all straight, but you see, I picked up a right smart from our talk Saturday, wasn't it?
Wasn't too much talking, though,
huh?
Was it?
When was that, Saturday?
Sunday, Saturday.
Yeah,
I forgot when it was.
Saturday.
Well, anyhow, Sunday, Saturday. Yes, now you really got some buddies down there.
Down where?
Chief
one.
Down there.
Oh, what would we talk about? We run our horns loud around here in so many different facets.
Now you
I don't forget.
Charlie Atkins.
You know Charlie?
No.
You introduced me to Charlie.
I wish you would.
Well,
Charlie.
Is he a millionaire too?
You don't know what Charlie. I don't know what Charlie's worth. Charlie ain't broke.
Yeah.
And I don't imagine he's counted his money lately. He has to dig it up. Charlie made a lot of money on the sly, you know, on blind money that he can't put in no bank.
Yeah.
Moonshining and other things. But that's the thing, is to say, you don't
turn
yourself. It's kind of like I was sitting in Williston the other day when I was down there. Look up some addresses. But Laura Rutland, he's an insurance. So go ahead and pull it in there. Yeah, talking to Laura. Laura used to be on my committee. I declare I'm going to buy y'all some water. I put enough in there to fill that cup up. Now it's too strong. What's the matter? Your pump don't work?
No, I don't ever get a full cup. I'm saving with my water.
Saving with your water?
Yeah, I just take a little.
Saving with your water?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about your air? You say? No.
God.
Yeah, now don't get shook up over some of this crap we might shoot around here, because he's been hanging around some pretty wild bunch, and you have to run fast and stay ahead of such things as Bully Harrison, Bud Gideon, Old Man Williams. Poor old Clyde, you don't know this crew, so I can tell you, he didn't sleep good the other night. They got a poker club, you know, around the club Wednesday night. Yeah. Yeah, a bunch of old retired fellas. And,
I called in on Wednesday night, didn't I?
I don't go play with them. So you call up that for him or something?
No, I called you. That night I called you.
No, that was yesterday. It was Wednesday, wasn't it?
Well, anyhow.
I don't ever go play with them. Anyway, Charlie McCauley, he's a retired executive of the Swift Packing Company. But he's quit smoking. And he's got a fanatic on the subject.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Well, Clyde and Justice.
He don't like any.
No, they play at his house. Oh, Charlie was a losing. It's a quarter poker game, you know, quarter length. It's real wild. Like one of my brother has in Lake City. Well, he just grumbled, said he lost 85 cents because y'all must have stayed up all night.
Oh, God.
But anyway. Clyde stole a couple of pots from him. He is accustomed, been raising sand about them cigars. And says, I couldn't see a damn thing around you with all this damn smoke if y'all wouldn't smoke up to play.
Yeah.
It's a shame a man can't play in his own house without somebody smoking it up. Well, that didn't do too good to Clyde. He said, Charlie, I don't have to set you about smoke. Yeah, that's about God, you know. Well, I won't be back. I guess they'll play around at Justice's now. He, you know, Justice sold his home.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he lives over there. He and his wife.
Oh, he's the one that sold that high price place.
Yeah, man, Justice still got some high price property, too. Stole it while he was president of the bank. He has those apartments back in there behind me. It's off of 16th.
Yeah.
No, whatever the street is, but it's behind the vet's hospital in there. And turn just coming going southwest, going out of town. You turn left just before you get to the hospital turn.
He can pay his rent and upkeep out there for what his upkeep cost him less of that.
That's right. And only just he and his wife.
And he didn't need that big house.
No, he didn't need it at all. Oh. But Justice owned a good bit of land around, did he?
Yeah.
They acquired.
But I'll never tell you, Charlie White picked things up and he can't put the money in the bank.
Who is that?
Charlie Adkins
was a moonshiner.
Yeah.
He can't declare that income. He can't show that money. But now he'll tell you he's broke.
Well, what does he do? Just keep it
out? He's in pulpwood business now.
Oh?
Mm-hmm. Like all the rest of that bunch down there. And he's a... the Southeastern Spirits and Turpentine Company's got him hired, too. There's a big turpentine steel. They quit distilling turpentine now. Down there. So we've known it all, as far as I can remember. It's 6 miles steel. It's just exactly 6 miles from Chiefland.
And that's out of business.
Well, they don't still own the land, but they ship all the rolls back up to one of the plants in Georgia.
Yeah.
And Charlie's been with them for years and years, and caretaker and overseer of their operation.
Oh.
And a pretty good salary. And plus, that gave him access to all those woods down in there, see, and it's the ideal place to run moonshine. he's raised up raising it. His daddy before him made it, old man Fred Adkins. Yeah, they come back out in West Florida up around.
Yeah, he's not timid. He don't mind.
No, he don't mind talking about it. So.
Well, would he talk with some fellow like me?
Yeah, oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
If I'd ride up with you and come mm-hmm. back every now and then, he'd sit down and talk a little?
Oh, yeah, enjoy.
Is that right? Well, now, is that what, you know, that big time stuff you were talking about last time, that sort of scared me. See, I'm not interested in the law side of it.
Well, my brother-in-law was, he was the law man.
Yeah.
But now, I've never had a badge on my life, never would put one on. I couldn't turn the key on another member of the human race. I just couldn't deprive you of your freedom. So, well, I know it's got to be done, but so I'd rather somebody else to do it.
Well, now, when did they round them up?
Well, I was in Atlanta.
And you read that in the newspaper when you was in Atlanta. That
yeah,
52?
Yeah. I was trying to remember when that was. I went up, no, that was in the late 50s.
Yes. You've been up there, right, Mark?
Mm. Yeah, I've been up there. I didn't go up there in 53.
Yeah. And you was there 12 years?
No, 6 years.
And then you come back to Greeley County?
Greeley County.
Which is with the same outfit?
No, I quit Uncle Sam in 1952. I was with them 11 years. Got him on. He went to work himself.
Well, now you were with the agricultural some sort of administration.
I was with the Farmers Home Administration.
Farm and Home Administration. For 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
But when did that start?
What are you trying to do, Doc? Figure out how old I am? I'm damn near as old as you are. No, I started working with him in 40. February of 41.
Oh, right at the beginning of the war.
Mm-hmm. Beginning of World War II.
Well, that was almost back in the Depression days, wasn't it?
That's getting right out of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they were cleaning up all them old.
Yeah, that's right. Oh.
And you were with them 11 years.
11 years.
41 to 50.
53. Well, 50, actually, 52.
52.
Mm-hmm.
41 to 52.
About 11, 10, 11 years.
That was the Farm and Home Administration. That is Henry Wallace. What?
Well, Henry Wallace. See, they had an old, what they called a relief program back down during the Depression. That was one of Roosevelt's brainchilds. Then they developed they called it the Farm Security Administration. Then they changed the name to Farm and Home Administration. Not been changed since, I don't think. You know, they changed the names of those programs quite consistently.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll never forget the soil conservation as we used to know it, the SCS. They changed their name a couple of times, and the last time they changed it to the Agricultural Stabilization Service. That actually happened. They even had gone through everything until they got the stationery. Brother, that is shocking. They changed it right fast, but it won't work. So now it's the Agricultural Stabilization.
ASC.
It's ASC, whatever that. What does that C stand for?
Commission. I don't know.
It's something other, but they had to get that association out of there right fast. Somebody, I said, well, it kind of puts you boys like back where you're supposed to be, yeah, but we didn't want nobody to know it.
Well, now, is Charlie White...
Charlie Adkins.
I mean, Charlie Adkins, no country fella?
Hey, just about as country as he can get.
He don't change.
He don't change.
He don't want to change.
No, I haven't. He's not going to change.
Well, he sounds like the kind of fella I'd love to talk to.
Well, you'd enjoy it, Charlie.
But now, Luther White is an office man.
No, Luther White got to be in construction. He, his daddy, old man Henry White from West Florida, he was a school teacher. Country school teacher.
Yeah.
Pretty good. He got to be county superintendent of public instruction for that. Luther was a wild boat. I don't use this often. And he tried to stay out of school. The old man wouldn't let him. He tried to do like the rest of the kids, drag his feet. The old man to transfer him over to him. He'd have kids. But Luther would run away from home. He'd get over there, Brunson, with an old fellow named Craps, Peter Claude Craps. He's another, I guess, old man Peter Claude, one of the richest men in the United States. The old man, and then the young Peter Claude, the boy, which was, he's now an old man. But they kind of like young Luther, and they harb him around out there in them woods. So when Henry catch him. But in World War II, he got to be, he went to the CB. He liked construction.
Oh, he could do that.
Oh, yeah. He was old enough. So. And so he saved his money, and he come back home. He went to work with Mack McCloud, L.B. McCloud Construction Company out of Orlando at that time.
Yeah.
And, but he eventually bought him one old dump truck, started subcontracting a rock hauler, and then another one.
Yeah.
Kept growing, and old man Peter Claude liked him. Since we got married, he married Frank Marshman's daughter, the old representative.
Yeah.
And Luther worked day and night. Hard work. He got him a road grader, picking him up a little equipment here and yonder. And he knew road building. He learned it. And his daddy-in-law got him one little contract so he made some money. And there he kept riding. And he worked his politics right. And since World War II, Luther's got to be one of the wealthiest men in the state.
Hmm.
One of the biggest construction men in the state. Now, he and the White Construction Company, I guess Luther's worth $12-15 million.
Well, he acts big.
No, Luther, you seldom ever see him. He still works day and night. If you want to see Luther White, you get up 6 o'clock and go see him.
Is that right?
That's right.
You mean they haven't outgrown them away
No. Luther, he built him a fine home. His family's got anything they want.
Yeah.
Within reason, he makes his kids work. He's put Nancy in the first boy through school. Wesley and the second daughter has dropped out. They won't go to school. But
I wouldn't either.
Well, Doc, it's kind of like Abraham Lincoln said. You know, when his old country friend there says, Abe, says all this learning going to help you make a living? No, he says it isn't. He says it's going to help me know what to do with the living when I get one made. Now, that's...
What happened to your brother-in-law, Starr?
Bud Starr, he got killed in an automobile wreck out in West Florida.
That wasn't connected with
it. No, he was going out to Pensacola on a case, and the drunk drive, of all people, the drunk drove into him, running
yeah,
inside
but
of
that
the
wasn't associated with the...
No, he didn't get shot. I figured he would eventually.
Yeah.
But he didn't do that. He got killed.
Well,
you know, a fella
they like, and you know, call yeah. through, they don't.
There isn't too many like Star. Charlie goes on all the time. He dreaded him, no kid, you say. But there's good friends. Charlie was just slick. So, but Star would have put him in jail. Hey, you didn't buy him, see.
Yeah. But he'd still come around and talk to you.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's more than they'll do now.
Yeah, well, Tom, the boy that Star trained is in charge of this area now. He's a Beveridge district man.
Oh.
And you seldom ever see Tommy. I don't think they mess with it too much anymore.
No. All you gotta do is check around those little helicopters or little scout planes.
Well, the old boys has got pretty slick with it now. It's a little bit more complicated than that, you know. With the advent of gas, I know I had one brother, my brother-in-law in Lake City, he had owned a gas company, bottle gas company. Pyrofax gas, I believe is what they call it. He sold a lot of gas over to McClinney. That's a big bootleg section over around McClinney. I cook it with less gas. He said, it won't make no smoke. Well, every now and then, Star would be in there and be made him a raid. Rick Mantle, mother, brother-in-law, said, Star, I wish you'd leave my customers alone. Says, I hadn't sold $100 worth of gas over in McClinney in a month now. You're watching them too close. You better get you some customers and some other line of business. And getting water, see, is a problem. You got to have sufficient water to keep your coils cool.
Yeah.
And to keep keep the condensation going on.
Well, it looks like that'd be simple with the deep wells they got.
Well, it takes a lot of water, and you've got to pump it. Now, if you put up a windmill and spot that, you put up a gasoline engine to pump it. You can hear that putting all over the country. If you put up if you use electricity, you've got to pull it off out there, and you got so you can be traced to that. So you have to burn it. Charlie had a pretty good little thing going. He had him a portable pump. He move it from one creek to the other. See. Lord have mercy.
Now that's what I like.
You want to get in the moonshine business?
I just love to see.
Where was you raised?
Well, down in Tennessee, but.
Which part now?
The western part.
Western part.
But I just think it's too bad they don't let them make it.
Well, they do. They make a lot of it. Snuffy Smith and that other bunch of Tennessee boys make a lot of moonshine. I never will forget one time I was working. If you know where a foreigner, Turtle Town, Duck Town, Benton, think you know those towns?
Mm-hmm.
You do,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
That's
it. Yeah. Copper Hill. Well, I'd sold everybody in an area, but one of them, my old Uncle Bob Cole. It was right on the Georgia line, you know, Caseville across the river. And Uncle Bob, he said, well, I don't want you to fix my house up. I sell it aluminum on it, that section. Well, if I measured up everything with the back end, I said, Uncle Bob, you need them back there. He says, I want them back there. I said, well, that's an oak. You can't go back there. He says, I've got a bad note. I says, Uncle Bob, you can tie that note. I says, you can't go back there. All right. So I'll measure. I said, yeah, but they won't fit. You know how to measure. Hell, I can measure as good as you can. I can see. Not yet, but you don't know what to make. Well, you ain't going back then. I said, all right, that's your house. If you want to bring me the measurements, now, Uncle Bob, if it don't fit to yours, remember that. But I ain't going to eat them. Oh, I'm going down to pay them bills. They don't fit them, all right. He went back there and measured the bag. Like, hey, I guess they fit. Boys carried him up and let him get back there, put him up. Well, I was back up there about a month or two from then. They done caught Uncle Bob. He had 31, they'd caught him with 31 pints of whiskey in an old washing machine back there, back behind that house. And we were sitting around out there with a big restaurant, juke, whatever you call it, out over in Georgia. That's where all the boys come out there. They had talking about Uncle Bob, and the jury had convicted him. And Uncle Bob was having to do some time. Then I got over. I said, you sorry, so-and-so. I said, every damn one of you's made moonshine. And now y'all lacing for old Uncle Bob Cole? One or two of you was on the jury. Why don't you hang it up? Well, hey, we'll push off you. I said, yeah, you bunch of dirty. We don't give a damn about him making moonshine, but he was making the best and worst rotten gut. We couldn't drink it. He wouldn't quit.
Well, now
I'm making
too
sorry a
stuff. Never tell you, the Rollins, Juanita's mother's family was Rollins. And old Grandma Rollins lived up until late 50s. And she got a name through this whole country for making butter and talking.
Yeah. Who's it?
Rawlinson.
Rawlinson.
You'd have heard of him sooner or later. Well, anyhow, they moonshined, and Tuckmack was telling me about it until his wife heard him, and she told him not to. But I tell you, they made good stuff.
Yeah, well, that's what they don't want to look about about. Wasn't making good stuff, see?
And
so,
that was community service, you see.
Good
service
community
committed.
Service.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the reason this is set on it now, it beats the state and county and the federal government out too much taxes.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. Well, you know, the tax division is what the Treasury Department's what handles it. It's not T-Man, G-Man, it's T-Man. The Treasury Man's is a beverage boy.
Yeah.
They, the revenue is a snuffy cold.
Well, they got all the advantages now. They can go to the post office and find out who wrote you the last letter. Let me tell you, Gorman. Now, Billy Patterson's not in that crowd.
No, Billy Patterson inherited his.
Yeah.
He was the Pat Mack Lumber Company, Guntown, Old Man Gun. You see, Alder Creek, Gulf Hamlet used to be known as Guntown.
Oh.
As an old, the old original man was Gun. And but it had a hardwood mill in there. It had been a pine mill. That sawmill country was basically all in there. That's what it has been ever since. My daddy was a sawmill man. That's all he knew. Of course, he always had him a little peat-patch farm. He had a pretty good size farm, but he didn't know no farmer. He's a sawmill man. He got in the construction business. He went broke in the Depression. Never did come back out of it. So he was raised off of Fort where I was. So older sisters above me, they had it pretty good. But the Depression hit this country a little bit later than it did the rest of the country. It must have been.
It hit
hard.
If you didn't owe anything, you'd all right.
Yeah, well, he did owe something. That was his problem.
Yeah.
And didn't owe much, but what wasn't much when he was riding the crest, he could have paid it most any week. But when you wake up one morning and all your banks broke, what money your assets are frozen, and I mean to the point where they dissipate, gone.
Yeah.
And no worries, no nothing. You can't sell what you got.
I remember people who didn't have much at all, and they just rode through the cities.
Yeah, well, we got by.
What
I mean, we had that farm. We moved back on the farm. We eat good, fed a lot of people on that highway. They lost their farms in the North Country, you know, in the Midwest and out in there, and they were just beating it down wherever they could. We fed a lot of people because we always had plenty of stuff growing, and we never turned anybody away.
What was the Ocala Farm and Water Association? That's not it. Don't you know Bryce?
Ocala Land and Lumber Company.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, that Buren Bryce was an officer in that. Buren's made some money. He's brother-in-law to Luther White. You know, he married one old man Frank's daughter. But now Carl is the brains of that outfit.
Yeah.
Carl's old man there. Carl, and just as chinchy as he can be.
Carl is.
Oh, Lord.
Well, now that Ocala Farm and
Land and Lumber Company.
Land and Lumber Company goes way back.
Yeah. They own a lot of stuff in Lee County. I did. See, the Ocala Land and Lumber Company. Sold some stuff. Georgia Pacific bought out Pat Mack, bought out old Gulf Hammond. And Billy Patterson was the principal, was the president of that. He was the main principal involved. I guess Billy Pat had the warrant around of what he owned the bulk of it. And because the McKinnises had gone, and just where Eddie, the boy that was the son to the old man McKinnis, you know, it was Patterson McKinnis Lumber Company, the fathers, and then Billy Pat was might have been the only child of all. There might have been others, but you see, they was way above me, and I don't remember them too well.
Yeah.
I remember little Eddie McKinnis, he was just a few grades ahead of it. But they left, and I don't know what happened to them.
But now, what kind of outfit was that?
Who, Ocala Land and Lumber Company? They was a land holding company.
Yes. And then the moguls down there sort of worked together in that?
Well, the moguls always worked together, Doc. The holding companies, you just never know who owns them.
Yes.
You see, it's like we was talking about this tax dodge thing.
Yeah.
I got a bunch of land out here, and I want to buy other land.
Yeah.
I want to go out and buy your little patch of timber, okay? I'm a Patterson McKinney's Lumber Company representative. You won't sell to me, except you want to hold me up, see? All right. I put me a front man up out there somewhere. So some local yokel that's he's interested in buying, and he watches, and he not only does he buy land, he steals land. They steal land through the tax books and delinquent taxes and such things as that, and deaths and families and estates. But he fronts in, and we've got a holding company in another town. Well, he buys for this holding company. It's my company. It's the Moguls, and say I got some brothers, and I got him over here, a good friend. But we have to incorporate, you know, to keep the government off you as an individual. So we have several corporations to write off our winnings on one, our losses on the other. So that's how those things get started, but they continue to grow and grow and grow. And the Ocala Land and Lumber Company, this was a holding company, now so they just who, and they still in existence, they're not gone, just who they belong to and what, they got to be a corporation in their own right, see, and they bought up lands, and they'll sell it, they'll sell the timber lot rights to such milling companies, let this one cut it or that cut it, and see, you never know exactly how they, it's a big business, gets to be.
Yeah.
Pretty entangled.
You're not dealing with anybody.
That's right. You're dealing with a corporation which has got the authority to act as an individual. And if you sue, you have to sue the corporation. If they go broke, you don't get the president anymore or the secretary of the treasurer. I don't care how much money they might have. You have got to get what the corporation's got. And so that's... the big reason why business operates that way is the self-protection.
You know, that'd be nice to be in.
A lumber business?
That Ocala.
Well, you was if you could have got with it back when it was growing, but they're liquidating now.
I mean connected with something like that, because then you would know everything that went on.
Well, you better believe you wouldn't. They don't let you know, the employees don't know nothing. If you did, what good would it do you? Georgia Pacific. Now, if I'd have been in a stock plunger and could have gotten the options, I'd have left to bought some Georgia Pacific stock in about 2 years ago. Or they split since then. But I'm not a speculator. I don't care too much for. Have to watch the stock market. It's a good thing to watch, I reckon, if you just, but I'm not interested in gambling. I might play a little bit in a quarter poker game or something like that, but.
You know, Keller's got a lot of big wigs, too.
Oh, yes.
You know, there's a fellow down here that's a Christian. He used to run, he started out down here at McIntosh.
He's Floyd Christian.
Huh?
Yeah. Floyd Christian, yeah, he's from over in that somewhere. The Christians, though, are not a big name in Marin County. The Carmichaels, the Camps,
yeah.
Edwards,
yeah.
People like that,
yeah.
Davidson,
yeah.
Kim McKay's.
Well, now look, as much goes on and as rich as they are, why are they so dead set on this canal across Florida?
That I don't know, Doc. Now, that canal has been a bone of contention ever since I can remember. Roosevelt sired that program as an emergency measure to create employment.
Yeah.
It was to be a ship canal. Now, the Army engineers at that time and the Defense Department said that it would be a good defense ditch. We could get our warships
yeah.
back into it and hide some of them up in there.
Yeah.
Well, we've outgrown that now
yeah.
in our present state of if we ever was to get attacked, we don't need any ships with
yeah.
the atomic era that's invaded us, we might say invaded us, because none of us asked for it, that was thrust upon us. War is a tremendously different affair today. And if we ever have war on our shores within the confines of our country, which we ultimately will, it's not a standpoint of saying whether we will or won't, it's a standpoint is just when. Such thing as a shipping canal is just not needed. So it's been a political football. They bought the state of Florida, they think, this last time into the Republican camp with that canal. I heartily agree with the ecology boys and girls that it would be one of the most disastrous things we could do. We've got no economic value to us whatsoever. And when you speed up a stream, when you divert natural course of water, and you speed up a stream, you have done away with the plant and marine life that's in it. You take the Kissimmee River, for example. It's a dead river now. It used to just one of those meandering, lazy things down in there. Well, they ditched it and controlled it, run it into there, and our Everglades is almost a thing of the past. Now, we're not going to say that man's going to come back and reverse the trend. He's gone too far. They used to fly our big planes out of Honolulu, out of the Hawaiian Islands, to this, to the Pacific coast. There was a point of no return. When your fuel would carry you past that point, there is only one direction you can safely go, and that's straight where you're going. If you turn around and go back, you're going to be a little short. So we have reached that in that respect. We've reached it in so many of our other streams. You take now Hans Tansler and Hayden Burns is having a dog fight over the mayor's job in Jacksonville. I would vote for Tansler if I was up there, because he is doing his best to do something to the St. John's River, one of the best rivers in the United States, for my money. St. John's is a good river. It's absolutely worthless, you might say, except for Hudson Pump, EID Point Demers companies, that's other companies. The mighty Mississippi, they don't kid ourselves, it's gone, what do they call it, the colon of the nation. That's the common term used for the mighty Mississippi. How long would it take to divert it back to a good stream? How long would it take to put Rice Creek back, one right here under our nose? I see all this crap. I get so sick of these. I know most of those boys on the city council, and I'll declare they hadn't got sense enough to get in out of the rain. Now, that's all there is to that compost business. I have heard it. It smells worse. All you have got to do with anybody's waste is build you a big furnace out there and burn it. That's all.
The thing of it is, Florida, a few million dollars ain't as important as those canal people make it.
Well, your core of the thing about government, and it used to make me so sick. These boys are sitting over here in the ivory tower, the Corps of Engineers. They'd run a lot of work to do. They've got to keep these ditches dug. They've got to keep these projects going. They have got a lot of pull.
Oh, yes.
So, who could care less for Central Florida, whether there's another duck, goose, or what? We have got to pay a patronage. Despotism, you know what the word means? Somebody controls a bucket full of votes. Somebody controls a bunch of the mafia crooks. That's the trouble with the federal government. It's not only the trouble, it's the trouble with you boys right up there. You couldn't change one of you for hell or high water.
That's right.
You couldn't change that curricula. Do y'all give a damn about the boys and girls?
Well,
No.
Well, it looks so petty.
It is.
And let me tell you, Gorman, we got to be on our way. Right. But I want to ask you. You haven't had a good peppy president here since
it's Harry Truman.
No, I mean of the university.
Oh no, since John J. Tiger.
Yeah.
Now, don't misunderstand me. Those boys, you
all
think
nice,
say,
all
James,
nice.
J. Wayne's right, is as good a friend as I have.
Oh, yes.
He's one of the finest men I ever knew.
Yeah.
Dr. J. Hillis Miller was a fine man. I don't remember him as a president. And this boy, Stevie is a good kid. But Stevie has got just about as damn much backbone as a jellyfish. J. Jay Wainwright quit for one reason. I know why he quit. See, he couldn't do... See, Wright was an old ag boy. He's open for suggestions. But Wright's right and wrong's wrong. There's no middle course.
Yeah.
There's no compromise.
Is that right?
And he couldn't. Well, there isn't any me. Yeah. There's no your reason. What, wouldn't it be beautiful if the doctor come in and told you, well, you know, we almost saved your mother's life or your old child's life. We almost saved his life. That's a hell of a consolation, ain't it?
Yeah.
What if your daughter come in and says, Pa, I'm just a little bit pregnant. This damn compromise makes me sick.
Yeah.
You did or you didn't.
Yeah.
Now, these kids that's a-rickin' and a-snortin' around here, we've got to lean over backwards for the blacks. We've dropped our scholastic entrance exam.
Yes.
So get niggers in.
Yes,
well, we won't tell the truth, though. Well, you know what the problem is. We've got a race problem. What if we had I come out here and I'm a painter. I've got two colors of paint. Got plenty of black and I got plenty of white. You want it painted black, she wants it white. And you'll argue and you argue and you argue. Well, I'm wasting my time around here. I need to get to work. So I catch y'all off out on the brawling and I accidentally kick the bucket of black over into the bucket of white. What have I got?
Mulatto.
I've got a mulatto. We don't got no color problem though, do we?
No.
Okay, that's the damn answer to it. That's what they're driving for.
Yeah.
Nobody tells the truth. What was the Civil War over? Free the slaves? Bull. Now, you professors won't tell the truth about that.
No.
The historians won't tell the truth about that. The 4-4 nigger was just happened to be the tool they used.
Yeah.
It was an economic situation.
Yeah.
What's this Korean mess we got over here? What's this Vietnam mess? You boys won't tell the truth about it.
Well,
we know what it is. It's
Tiger would stand up.
Tiger would tell you the truth if you knocked him down. he run that university, and I'm going to tell you what's the truth. Suppose we'd had a little bunch of crap like we had in the athletics, but you know the athletics days took over the university, took over the nation. What if some little pipsqueak junior or sophomore that had got up this Dickie business?
Yeah.
Didn't it smell sweet? It smelled just about like the compost business here in the city council. And then here, just because he happens to be a kind of a star forward, we could call him. That's what the old country editor's about the best of all. He was a star forward. So he puts all this jazz in the paper. John J. Target would expel him the next day. I don't care what a big shot he was. It doesn't matter. You either shape up or ship out. Now, that's all it was to John Target.
They couldn't kick anybody out anymore. They'd be afraid to even have a thought.
John Target would have took the chairman of the Board of Regents if it had one out and told him where to go. He said, now, if you want my job, here it is. But until
so,
you get me a letter of official firing me, I'm going to run this university. I'm going to run it right. I'm going to run it right.
So Wright's got tired of compromise.
Now, Dr. Wright just couldn't. He could not compromise. There was nothing a little bit pink to Dr. Wright. It was either full red or it was full white.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to commingle it, so he just quit.
He was a good ag man.
He was. He would have been one of the best presidents this university ever had if he could figure to run it like he was supposed to.
Yeah.
But
He come at the wrong time. Yeah.
Stevie O'Connell is a political. He's a political pawn.
Yeah.
That's all he is.
With ideals.
He's a yes man. Stevie don't even have too many ideals. You don't have time to have them. That's right. See, I've been knowing Steve O'Connell ever since I can remember. If he's got them, he keeps them quiet because he's going to play both sides against the middle. What's all this controversy now on your budget about? The Board of Regents. What's all that jazz about? Everybody, some little Tom, Dick, and Harry politician is wanting to tell somebody how to run something. When they fired that professor for his foolishness, And then we've got this crap coming in on us and pushing us around. Would you have took that? You wouldn't? You wouldn't? Okay.
Oh, yes, I'd have took it. Yes, I sure would, and just swallowed it.
You would have, huh?
Yes, if I'd stayed, wouldn't
it? Yeah. Well, I wouldn't have stayed. No, there's a time when I don't think, Doc, that I don't think they'd fire a man. Now, all right, what about this mess, the rock festival out there on the football field?
Yeah.
Your Gator Grail, did you go?
No.
You should have went. You were part of the system. You should have went.
Did you go?
No. I know what was coming.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Our four-letter words, and I know as a kid say, let's talk. You talk, we all know what it means. Why not say it? We all know what BM means, too, but are we going to talk about it here in front of the
everybody?
Yeah. Sure, we know what it means. And when a president will namby-pamby and let that crap go on.
Yeah. He just sort of squirms and sidesteps.
Squirms and sidesteps. And
squeezes
his,
wears them out.
Wears them out. And the taxpayers have got enough of it, but your taxpayers don't count.
Who was Fuller Warren?
Fuller Warren was a big mouth governor. He, my brother-in-law's buddy. He is a good orator. But he was governor one term. He's a lawyer in Jacksonville. Fuller made us a good governor.
Yeah.
It took a long time for people to realize it, but he did. Yeah. Old Hayden Burns made us a good governor. It takes a long time to realize it, but he did.
Did he?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, Hayden Burns done some things that if he got some things started, it didn't last long enough.
Yeah.
Hayden Burns is a tremendous powerhouse.
Yeah.
He's a driver. He put the city of Jacksonville where it is right now.
He did?
Yes, sir. Hayden, city of Jacksonville was a dead issue, but Hayden Burns got to be made. He is an industrialist, he's a driver. But now I'll tell you one thing, old Hayden's gonna by golly get his pound of flesh while he's at it. But
well, what beat him as governor was that big bond issue.
That's right.
They had no confidence in him.
They had confidence in Hayden Burns, and Hayden Burns in the bond issue was right, Doc. What the people is tired of is this. We're tired of it. You're tired of it. I'm tired of it. You notice how the referendums on your school bonds are going down the drain in every county? You notice how the people are turning their backs on those bond issues and voting them out? Why? Look, let's take my little county down there.
Okay.
You've got your superintendent and a half a dozen under him. Then you've got a federal coordinator at $18,000 a year. Then in each school you have got teachers, you've got your principal plus several assistants and a coordinator. You've got the, whenever you add up the money, you're spending a tremendous amount of money. Now I'm going to hire a high school graduate and put him to work. When you ask a kid, look at him, say, what's 4% of 50? What's the square root of 9? You sit there and interview one of them, well, her and I went so and so. Now that's a high school graduate. And that kid can't even read. If you throw a simple arithmetic problem to them, they don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
As I say about this one down there, it was wasting my money. Couldn't even equate a simple thing to get 3% of 1,000 out of 1,000. And that was 100. I says, honey, here, $1,000 equals 103%. X equals 100%. That's what I want done. What you mean? Now we're sick of that. Your plant.
Yeah.
The plant, the manufacturing plant, is judged by its product. I don't know who that's Zena. When Zena starts putting out a television set, as sorry as our high school graduates.
Yeah.
We'll quit buying Zena.
Yeah.
We're gonna quit buying these graduates.
Yeah.
We're gonna quit buying these school programs.
Yeah.
You've got more damn silly, no good, nothings in our school programs today that's costing a small fortune. Got it right out here.
Yeah, I was going to take this along and give you an example of something of that. I wanted to show you, see what they see. Fuller Warren was just a one-term governor.
That's right. Well, at that time, that's all you could be.
And he was a big mouth?
Well, I call him big mouth. He's a good speaker. Fuller Warren wasn't. He's a good governor.
And he come from University Law School?
I think, I was trying to remember Fuller. Yeah, I believe he did graduate here. He and my brother-in-law's brother, Bud Starr, his brother, we called him Babe Starr. If you've been here 10 years, you've heard of Babe Starr, probably. Starr, B.K. Roberts, Reeves Boyd, the five men that control the state, really. The five shysters up in Tallahassee. I see B.K. now, he's a Chief Justice of the State Supreme Court. That was the five lawyers that pretty well run the show.
And, who are they?
Well, B.K. Roberts, Reeves Bowens, Babe Starry, and Hall. He's still out there. What's Hall's first name? What's the other one? There was five of them. But Babe's dead. Reeves, I think, is gone. The one took Miller Caldwell's old office. See, Caldwell started that clique. He's no Tennessee boy. Come down here with the seat of his britches. Miller's a smart fellow. He is a smart fellow. But, you see, in Miami, what is controlling us now, out of Miami, if we didn't but realize it, we could vote Dade County in a block. Dade County carries 30% of the state's vote. You don't have that in Tennessee. You've got about four big towns in Tennessee, but if Memphis could control your vote.
It did
for a long time through radiation. But if Dade County could, if you could just make them all vote alike, it could run the state. Well, your mafia, your syndicate, we don't kid around about that. It owns this state. That's another thing that's got us sick, too. Your local law enforcement is so crooked. This numbers racket, your football parlays, your Belita, your bank night, or what, not bank night, that used to be the theater, what, a Saturday night, or night house, or, this numbers racket, it's rampant throughout the, and this state's just full of it. When they let such things as this hood that, and they wrote some big something in the Sunday paper about him walking the beaches, supposed to be head of this crime syndicate. Everybody knows it. Every child on the street knows who's peddling it to stuff, and yet the law can't stop it. It makes you awful sick. And as I say, when you get back to your campus, 50% of that stuff aren't students. Such thing as you, he used to be at Dogland. This old thing, Bob Satterley, I helped run him out of Levy County. Where is Bob Satterley up here going to school? When they had the demonstration at Tiger Hall, who did you see out there? Old Bob Satterley. Nothing. Old Lady Thomas. Now, why couldn't somebody stop it? I'll tell you what's the problem, though. Now, we'd clean that up when we was kids coming up. We kept our own show cleaned up.
Yeah.
Oh, man, if I could have got on a school bus back then. We don't have no prejudice in me. I'm going to treat a black man with the same respect I'm going to treat a white man. I'm going to treat every man on the face of this earth first with respect as a member of the human race. Then I'm going to admire that person for what he's done himself. I'm not going to abuse nobody. But don't push a goon up here on top just because he happens to be so-and-so. I don't care what color he is. Yeah, we'd have cleaned it up. But we don't got that no more. That's like kind of like my brother was talking about Manatee Springs down there. A couple of old white dowagers, they lead a bunch of coloreds in. So we always kept our springs for our local gender. Well, we had some niggas every now and then invade it. We'd have some battle royal. One time we had to beat up some, that was the creek. They outnumbered us that day. We went way up the creek there and got us a sack full of old green walnuts, put them in and crushed them good and dropped them in the creek. And when that juice kind of floated down there, we cleaned out the creek. But he says, I've just left to have seen that happen back when you and Frank, Gurr, and Dunk Howard and that bunch of boys was around. And it wouldn't happen when we was around.
Now, who said that?
That's my kid brother's boy was talking. My brother's boy.
When who was around?
For me and one of my old buddies. When we grew up around there, that bunch of wild hoods. I didn't know it wouldn't happen.
This is
your day.
You didn't grow up in Cleveland. You grew up in Georgia.
No, I lived up in Georgia. Oh, my gosh. I was grown, well, old fellow, no, Georgia, no, I was talking about when I was in high school down there.
Oh, you went to Georgia late?
I went to Georgia after I got through with Uncle Sam.
Yeah.
I was 29 years old. No, no, I'm 29 now. No, Lord, I'm right 40 years old. No,
what kind of telephone you got out here? Extended? Do you want up yonder, or you got a number out here?
Well, it's a different system. That's Bell system. This is Northfire.
In case I wanted to call you, I said,
sure.
Give it to me one time and I didn't ever call it. I'll get it for a couple days.
Let me see. You want the one over there.
And you teach music? Huh?
Oh, not much.
Not much.
Mm-hmm. I mostly just
teach it at home.
In town.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I mean.
Oh.
Like the Mrs. What's her name? The chief. Of course she's
now, let's see. What else you want?
Her number. Her business number.
Okay, it's right here.
Oh, well.
Can you play rock music?
Play yeah, I know anything. I know how it goes. I used to, when I was a youngster, you know, I grew up, I played jazz along with anything else, because I had pretty good hearing, you know, so I could thump it out. So I never object to the kids playing whatever they want to play, as long as they'll work on what I want them to.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get that all the time, right? You know.
Yeah, we have to get beyond the pale of life, or we look back. So I wish we went up that road.
Oh well.
But that we all
do that. A lot of roads to go up.
What system have you got here? Your tape recorder?
Yeah, that's just a little tape recorder.
You mean to tell me you think your memory is that good, man?
2 2 0 4 6
Well, well, it seems good, isn't it?
Where y'all get your water out to? You got your own deep well?
Yeah, good.